This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, welcome to this next session of Drops of Guidance. Previously, we discussed the introduction as well as the biography of Imam al-Nawawi, and we got into the first hadith, which is the hadith directly related to intentions and actions, where it states, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, and so on and so forth. In this next session now, we will discuss a little bit of the explanation of that hadith, okay? So, indeed, actions are but by intention, and for every man is only that which he intends, or for every woman, okay? Now, what does this mean? What does this tell us? That our actions are but by intention. This basically means, in a nutshell, that whatever we do, our intentions have to be exclusively for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we're going to work, whether we are cooking breakfast, whether we're studying in university, or you are, you know, doing something with the family, going out for an outing, no matter what it is, you must do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. And then, you know, whatever you do, for example, to please your family, so you're taking them out, you're spending some time with them, and you're doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make your family be connected and together and live together in a nice and harmonious method or manner, I should say. Then we move on. In this hadith, we have a few opinions explaining the first line of the hadith. The first opinion is related to the correctness of the actions and the reward. Okay, the correctness of the actions. So performing an action correctly. Okay, doing it correctly. And then the second opinion is that all actions occur due to the intention of a man or a woman. So this person intends to do something. So you intend to do this for Allah, and the manner that you do it is the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. Okay? And those are the opinions, the two different opinions that there are with regards to that. Actions are of four different types. Okay? There are four different types of actions. You have actions which are a speech of the heart. Okay? And we'll get into that shortly. You have actions that are of the heart, so actions of the heart. And thirdly, speech of the tongue, and then actions of the limb. Okay? So the first one, which is speech of the heart, is considered to be your belief. Okay? Whatever you believe in, that is the speech of the heart. So you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and only true God to be worshipped, and that is the speech of your heart, and it comes out through the actions of the heart. That you believe that, and now you act upon it. Okay? You act upon the speech of your heart. So those actions come out of the heart. And then the speech of the tongue, to declare, to say that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe in the messengers, you believe in the angels, the books, and the day of judgment, and the qadr, whether it's good or bad, and so on and so forth. So to actually declare, to testify, and say openly that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the third type of action, and the fourth type is actions of the limbs. Okay, actions of the limbs. And these actions are to actually do something. For example, to pray, to go for hajj, to do things, to give charity, okay, to go and do something physically for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pleasing Allah throughout that action, that is the fourth type. Now, with regards to intention, okay, with regards to intention, where is the place for an intention? Does it mean that you just stand up and you say, okay, today I intend to do something for the sake of Allah, and I'm going to do so and so thing, and while I'm doing it, for example, if I'm going to pray, I'm going to be praying facing the Qibla and this and that? Or does it mean that your intention is in your heart? And this is what the scholars say. They say that the intention is in our heart. Some scholars say that the intention is something that we must declare. And the proof that they use for this is, for example, when someone has to go for Hajj or they go for Umrah, okay, before they leave the Miqat, before they embark on that journey to Hajj, they have to prepare themselves. And they put on their ihram, okay, and they put on perfume and so on and so forth. They get ready to go for Hajj, they get ready to go for Umrah. And before they leave the Miqat, that station before you get on your journey or begin your journey, you have to state or declare that you're going to perform Hajj or you're going to perform Umrah. Labbaik Allahumma Hajj or Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, okay? And you have to say this with your tongue. So the scholars that say that the intention is something which you must declare with your tongue, they use this as proof. And they say that because you have to do it for Hajj and Umrah, that means that intention is something which must be said by your tongue. But this is not the case. The scholars further explain that for those that say that the intention is on the tongue, this is not really the intention that you're declaring. It is very similar to a person who starts their salah, their prayer. Okay, so when you start praying and you say, Allahu Akbar, right, you say Allahu Akbar, is your Allahu Akbar part of your intention or is it part of the prayer? Now, we know that that statement, saying Allahu Akbar in salah, in prayer, is part of the prayer. It is not part of the intention. And the scholars mention that because Allahu Akbar is part of the prayer, similarly, saying the intention to go for Hajj or Umrah is not part of your intention. It is part of your Umrah or your Hajj. And they also explain that the reason why it is part of the Hajj or part of the Umrah is because before you went for Hajj or Umrah, you intended to do it. You didn't just show up one day at the Miqat and say, you know what, today I'm going to go for Hajj. Or you know what, today I'm going to go for Umrah, and you just start your car and go. No, you prepared yourself. You took a shower, you put on your ihram, you put on perfume. You know, the women prepare themselves, they get ready to go on this journey. And the fact that you're preparing yourself to go is the intention. So the intention is in the heart, that you intended to do that action. There's no need to actually say it. Similarly, for a person who goes to pray their prayer, okay, they go to pray salah. They make wudu before going to pray salah. Making your wudu is something you must do before praying. And before you went to make wudu, you said, you know what, it's time to pray. You know, you look at your watch, you decide, oh, it's time to pray. So I need to go and perform wudu. Therefore, you intended to pray. And because you wanted to pray, you said, wait, I don't have wudu. So you went and made wudu. And that wudu, for example, is not part of your salah. It's not part of your intention. That's something that you must do before prayer. But the intention was something that you had. You intended to pray. And to pray, you need wudu. So you made wudu. Just like going for Umrah. You intended to go for Umrah. And that was something that was in your heart. So the scholars say the intention is something which takes place in our heart. And with that, we will take a short break and come back within a few minutes. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to the next segment of this session. We were talking about intentions and actions, and we said that the intention, the place for the intention, is within the heart. One of the diseases of the heart, we can say, is ostentation, or what is known in Arabic as riya. Okay, riya. To do something, in English we would translate it as ostentation. Doing it for the sake of being noticed by others. And we take a very, very famous hadith gave very famous hadith, which tells us the first few people that will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. And the first person is one who will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked about what he did in his life. And he will say, I fought and I died for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I died as a martyr, as a shaheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say, no, you did that for fame. You did that so that other people can recognize that you did that. And so the people called you a martyr, they called you a shaheed, and you got your reward, and then you will be thrown into the hellfire. The next person is one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question and say, what did you do? And the person will say, I learned the Qur'an in order that I can teach it to others. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, you learned the Qur'an so that others can call you a qari, they can call you a reciter, a hafiz of the Qur'an, and then that person will be thrown into the hellfire. The third person is one which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, what did you do during your life? And the person says that, you know, I acquired wealth and I spent it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I gave it to others and, you know, I helped others with my wealth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, you acquired that knowledge so that people can say so and so about you, and it was said about you, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw that person into the hellfire. This gives us an example, brothers and sisters, of ostentation, riya. This is a hidden type of shirk. This is something that we do trying to please others, trying to please those that see us, that are around us, but we refuse to acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a person who prays their prayer, okay, you're praying salah, and you beautify the way that you're praying only so that the people around you can notice you while you're praying, and so that they can say something nice about how you pray. And then you do this continuously, this trend continues. And this is a type of riya, or a hidden shirk, okay, something which is a disease of the heart. Now there are four levels of ostentation with respect to a person's intention, okay? With respect to a person's intention. And the first one is that the person solely aims other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when doing an act of worship. So they're doing it only for being noticed by others. They're not doing it for the sake of Allah whatsoever, okay? So for example, you know, take an example of a child when his father comes home from work. And alhamdulillah, we know that children are, you know, not going to be questioned as long as they're under the age of maturity and so on and so forth. But just for example, a child whose father comes home from work and the father says, did you pray? And, you know, the child says, yeah, I prayed and so on and so forth. And this trend continues. And eventually the child says, you know what, when my dad comes home, I'm going to be praying so that he sees me praying. Okay. Similarly, when a person goes to the masjid to pray, or people come to their house and they usually don't pray, but now that there's people at their house, they decide to pray only to please those people, to know that, oh, he prays. Okay, that's the first type. The second type is the person who does intend reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they want to be rewarded. They want to have some sort of blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this intention is weak within them, okay? So instead, what motivates them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most is the people watching them. So they want to pray, they want to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they're very weak, their iman is low, and they have this hard time doing what they're supposed to be doing the simple basic things in Islam. For example, they pray only when others are around them because that encourages them to pray, but they're doing it because others are there. They want reward from Allah, but they're only doing it because others are around, and that is the second type of or the second level of ostentation with respect to the intention. The third type now is that a person's intention for reward is there, okay? They want reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but his intention is equal to the amount of his will to do it for Allah. So he wants to do it for Allah, but at the same time they're doing it because the pressure of others, or they want to be recognized by others as one who, for example, prays. Okay, we'll stick with that example. So they pray when others are around because they want to be known that they are praying, but they also do it with hope that they receive a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the fourth type. And all of these types, all of these four types are types of ostentation, okay? They're types of, or levels of people who have this disease. They have this riya. They have this type in them, okay? And now the fourth and last type is that a person's intention for showing off is less than his intention for seeking the reward for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their intention in showing off is less. They want to please Allah. They want to seek their reward or obtain a reward from Allah. But at the same time, they still continue to do their action in a way that is pleasing others. Okay, to be noticed by others. So that other people can see them and say, oh, that is a person that's praying. So those are the four levels of ostentation with respect to a person's intentions. We'll take a short break and we'll come back inshallah in a few minutes. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, welcome back. And we are continuing with the topic of riya or ostentation. Okay, what is known as ostentation in simple terms, showing off. Okay, to be a show off. Now there are also different levels of ostentation with respect to whether a person is showing off in the essence of the act of worship or whether it is the qualities of his act of worship. Okay. As for the first, okay, the first one, when a person shows off in the essence of his acts of worship, that is, he only does the act of worship out of ostentation. These are three types, okay? So you're doing it only out of showing off. These are three types. The first type is if he shows off in the essence of iman, okay? So the person is showing off, in other words, let's say, he openly exhibits that he is a Muslim, but there is no iman in his heart, just like a hypocrite, okay? A person who openly shows that they're a Muslim, but deep down they don't really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is that he does not show off, okay? The person doesn't show off with respect to the essence of iman, okay? So they're not showing off that they're a believer. They are a believer. But he shows off when doing obligatory acts of worship, such as praying their salah. So they believe in Allah, okay? And they're not showing off that they're believing in Allah, but the acts of worship that they're performing, such as giving charity, okay? They give it when other people are watching them, or they pray when other people are watching them, and so on and so forth. The third type is that he shows off when doing extra acts of worship, such as when a person is performing nafil salah, okay? A person believes in Allah, and they pray five times a day, but they also want to be known as someone who prays more, someone who wakes up at night and prays, or someone who prays more prayer after their salah. So they finish praying maghrib, and then they pray two raka'ah of sunnah, then they pray two raka'ah of nafil, and then they pray another two, for example. And after Isha, they are seen in the masjid just continuing praying and so on and so forth. That is the third type, a person who is doing extra in the nawafil, you could say. Okay, that was the first type. The second aspect of it is when a person shows off not in the essence of the act of worship, but in the outward performance of the act of worship. So how a person actually does that. Firstly, for example, just like beautifying your salah, okay? Firstly, displaying ostentation through a deed, the abandoning of which constitutes a deficiency in the act of worship, okay? So for example, a person normally performs a short ruku', so short that their prayer is not even correct. Okay, they're praying and they go into ruku', they come up, they go into sujood, come up, go down, come up, and it's just this game of up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, and then they finish praying. Okay, naturally we know that that salah is not correct. It is a salah which is deficient. So when they're around others, they no longer pray this deficient salah, they pray one that is just accepted. Okay, a prayer that is not so quick. They just slow it down a little bit. All right, that's the first type. The second one is displaying ostentation through a deed, the leaving of which does not constitute a deficiency, but if a person does that deed, it is considered to complete and perfect his act of worship, such as prolonging the salah, prolonging the rukur, prolonging the sajda, for example. Okay, so a person who naturally just does the acceptable, but now when people are around, they stay in sujood for like 5 minutes. And people are like, MashaAllah, look at that person staying down in sujood for like 5-10 minutes. MashaAllah, he must be making a lot of dua. Okay, that is the second type. Now the third type is displaying ostentation through acts which do not belong to supererogatory acts of worship, or that category of nawafil or sunnah and so on and so forth, such as arriving at the masjid early. So people come to the masjid, you're not even praying yet, okay? You're not showing off in your prayer, but you're showing off before you even start praying. So you come to the masjid early, not because you want reward from Allah, you come to the masjid early because people know you as the man who is always in the masjid, the man who every time we go in, he's always sitting there in the front row. And you're doing that only so that people can call you the man of the front row, or the man who is always in the masjid. So that is the third type of person who we can see in this category of ostentation, as we mentioned throughout the past few minutes. Now, the purpose or goal of ostentation also has 3 degrees, okay? The worst is the most destructive type, such as a person who prays a lot, okay? A person who prays a lot and they give a lot of charity for the purpose of people making him their leader, okay? This is the worst type, okay? A person who does the worst, most destructive type of ostentation, and they perform this so that others can move them forward. Or, for example, someone who performs ostentation or has riya or shows off so that a person who, let's say a sister, is trying to learn about Islam, and this brother goes and gives her dawah and starts talking to her to get closer to her, and through that talking, that discussion phase, he tries to show off to her that he's a know-it-all so that he can get closer to her. Okay, getting closer to her. That's the first purpose or goal that some people usually have with regards to ostentation or showing off. The second is when a person aims at obtaining a worldly gain that is in itself lawful. Okay, in itself it's lawful. Just like a person giving Islamic lectures, okay, and they intend to give lectures so that the people in their audience can recognize them, and maybe one person will come and offer their daughter to this person and say, you know what, mashallah, you're a very knowledgeable person, you know, would you be interested in marrying my daughter, you know, she's a good person, and so on and so forth. So the person is obtaining worldly gain through it, and trying to get something out of that, okay? That is the second. And the third now is a person, when a person does not intend to obtain a worldly gain or wealth, but rather displays his worship for the fear that he may be thought of as lazy. Okay? And this is done usually to repel blame, so people don't blame this person. An example could be someone who prays Taraweeh prayer in order to be seen as someone who's not lazy. Okay, so you don't want to be known as someone who's lazy, so you go to the masjid during Ramadan and you pray 20 rak'ah of Taraweeh, only so that people in your family, your friends and so on say, oh, you came to the masjid, mashallah. And if you don't come, they're like, oh, how come you didn't come to the masjid? How come you didn't pray? And so on and so forth. So that person now becomes part of this third category, that they show off only to be known as someone who's not lazy. But in reality, they're too lazy to do it. Their iman level is too low and is not high enough to encourage them to go and pray. Okay? So they go to an extent of trying to please others in order to be known as someone who's not lazy. And with that, brothers and sisters, we wrap up this session. And I bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I look forward to seeing you next time, insha'Allah. Wa jazakum Allahu khayran. Mm-hmm.
تارك غريق المعاصي ومن عليه بلطف يفضي بي لخلاص.